when Friday night, I mentioned that, you know, the revival actually starts, you know, now. As the revival services end, then the revival begins. Revival is not a matter of sitting in a meeting and listening to preaching. It is hearing the Word of God preached, letting the Spirit of God stir your heart, and then doing something with that stirring that has taken place. So the decisions that you are making, the times you raise your hands and, Lord, or Jerry, pray for me, I want the Lord to do this and do that, whatever it might have happened to Ben, that was the stirring. The revival is the feet that you put to all of that. And that's what we're going to be looking at today in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, if I didn't give you the chapter. Brother Jerry was at the end of the chapter. We're going to be kind of in the middle of the chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14, says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would bless your word. God, I pray that you would do a work today, that what you began last week would be something that we would continue in, that we would not allow the meetings to end the work that you began. God, I pray that you would stir our hearts in such a way that it would truly bring revival to our church. Stir our hearts in such a way that it would change our lives, change our homes, change the way we respond to your Spirit. God, I ask that you would have liberty and freedom this morning to do a powerful work in each and every life. And Father, we will thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's several things here in this passage that we're going to look at, but the emphasis that the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy says, continue, don't stop, but continue in the things which you've learned. The Christian life, by the way, it can sometimes get discouraging. It's not like building a house. In the Christian life, you never kind of come to an end. When does the Christian life come to an end? When this life comes to an end, right? Then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But until that moment, we're still, you know, in this process of allowing the Spirit of God to change us into the image of his Son. And sometimes that gets discouraging. As a pastor, one of the reasons I like doing things like putting out a garden and mowing the lawn and building something is because there's a start, there's a middle, and there's an end. It's really nice. But ministry never ends. It just never, you never get to that place where you say, okay, look what we did, it's done, and now we can look at the finished product. It just doesn't happen in ministry because we're never going to be like Christ until we see him as he is. And so it's that concept of continuing. So the Apostle Paul, knowing this, he says to Timothy, continue in the things which thou hast learned. Don't quit, don't stop, but keep on going. In another book, the Apostle Paul said, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To strive for the mastery in another place. I mean, the Apostle Paul understood that this is a race, and it's not over until it's over. And so we have to keep going. And so that's where we're coming into this concept here. And I want to really focus on what the Scripture has to say here. So let's go back to the Scripture here. He says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That's the first thing I want us to look at. Where do we learn the things that we're supposed to continue in? Go back to verse 10, if you would, please. Verse 10. He says, Paul, by the authority of the Spirit of God, says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. The first thing is, Paul says to Timothy, you've learned these things from me, and I want you to continue in the things that you have learned from me. I have lived my life. I have taught you. I have set an example, Paul says, and I want you to continue in the things that we've talked about. So if this were Jerry, he'd say, you know, hey, all right, we spent last week talking, and now it's continue in the things that you've learned of me. If it's your pastor, it's saying, no, this is what we've been working on together for years, some of you. And so we would say, let's continue in the things that we've learned, things that we've been taught, things that we've been learning together, studying together, and growing together. Let's continue now in those things. We'll come to that list in just a moment. Go on down, if you would, please, to verse 15, and let me show you other places that you've learned this. And that from a child thou hast... How many of you were raised in a Christian home? Let me see your hands. You were raised in a Christian home. The majority of the people sitting here raised in a Christian home. That's not all of you, I know, but everyone in here learned something from a child. I mean, not from a child, but as a child. Somebody was teaching you something. And even if you were not raised in a Christian home, chances are you were being given principles that have biblical foundation. Most of your parents were teaching you to be honest and teaching you to work hard, and et cetera, et cetera. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, I want you to grab hold of especially those things that you learned from the Scripture as a child. Don't forget those things. We're continuing. This is a lifelong process, Paul says. And even for Timothy, who was raised in a Christian home, as a child, now you say, I don't think Timothy was raised in a Christian home. Not exactly. But he did have a mother and a grandmother who were godly influences on his life. And the Apostle Paul says, remember those things. Remember the things that I've taught you. These are the things I want you to continue in. These are the things that you should carry forward from this point. Keep moving forward. Don't go back. Don't go backward. Instead, continue to move forward. So the things that you've learned as a child, he goes, and then says, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's another place where you've learned. Three places already we've seen. You see, he's learned something from his past. He's learned something from the Apostle Paul. And he's learned something from the Scripture. Now, that just about represents everyone in here. Some of you are first-time visitors. I don't know exactly anything about you other than what you've gotten this morning. But even this morning, already from the music and from different things that we've already said and the Scripture that we've read in this few minutes, you've had a chance to be taught. The Apostle Paul is saying, continue. Don't go back. Go forward. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned as a child from the Scripture, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the end of verse 15. Now what I want us to do is to take a step back now. Let's go back to that list. What have we learned? What are we supposed to continue in? What are we supposed to say, okay, I'm going to go forward. I get concerned this about my own life. I'm just talking about me, all right? I have sat through many, many revival services. Many. And I have many times been driven to the altar by the Spirit of God and begged God and pleaded with God to make changes in my life. And I have many times gotten up from that altar and walked out of the church service or walked out of the camp service or whatever it happened to be and returned right back to the old way that I was already living. And the decision meant literally nothing. And that's not continuing in the things which we have learned. But it is to take what we've learned and begin to put it to work. And that's not easy. That's where the hard work begins. And so the Apostle Paul gives a list there in verse 10 of the things that he wants Timothy to consider as he's continuing in. But thou hast fully known. And the first thing he says is my doctrine. The things that are right. The things that we're supposed to understand from the Scripture. Doctrine has with it a lot of meaning. It is the basics of all of our Christianity. That would be doctrine, the fact that Christ is the Son of God, the fact that Christ is the Savior of the world, the only one who can save us, the fact that the Word of God is God-breathed, and it is inerrant, and it is perfect and absolutely the way God wants it for us, that God is holy and righteous and just, all that would be doctrine. And God wants us to grab hold of the things that we know are right and things that you were taught as a little kid and things that you've learned since you started going to church and things that you've learned in your Bible reading to continue in those things and not to back away from them, but to keep going forward in what you've learned. I know this is right, therefore I should continue in this doctrine. But he goes on beyond that. He says, manner of life. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to figure out, Timothy, that we're not only are we to continue in understanding what is right, but in the practical side of our Christianity, how we're supposed to live out our lives, the manner of life that we are supposed to have. Hey, listen, folks, we've kind of lost the concept in our churches that Christians are supposed to be different, right? We've been being taught for the last 15, 20 years that the way to reach people is to be like them. But that's not what the Bible shows us. The Bible shows us that by being a Christian, we become different. You know why many people were so moved by Jerry's testimony, his personal testimony Thursday night? Was because it reminded us that the power of God steps into our lives and changes things. And we were like, wow, that's the kind of Christianity I want. And that's what God wants for us. He does. He wants our lives to be changed. He wants to step in and give us a peace that passes understanding. He wants to step in and give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. And he wants our lives to be uniquely different from the world around us because we've been touched by the grace of God. And the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, I want you to continue in what you know is right. And I want you to continue in this way of life that is unique and different from the world. If we are going to be the same as everyone else out there, why does the world need what we have? But if the grace of God that bringeth salvation changes us and makes us into something unique and different, I'm not talking about, you know, that we wear suits and ties. I'm talking about that it inwardly changes us into something different, that our character becomes the character of Christ. So that when people are mean to us, we aren't mean back, but instead we bless those who curse us. We're uniquely different from everybody else. And the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, what your understanding is of what is right and wrong, and continue to allow God to change and mold your life so that your manner of life reflects the character of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to the next word. Look, we're still in verse 10. You know my doctrine, my manner of life, and my purpose. Purpose. This is a big deal. You know, a lot of people are trying to, since the 1960s, when we had this big movement of who am I and why am I here? By the way, that's a legitimate question for everybody. It really is. Why are you here? Why has God left you on this earth breathing? And we need to figure out what our purpose is. Can I say this to you? It is not to make money. So stop making money the most important thing on the planet. You can live without money, but you cannot live without the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. That's what is right. I understand doctrine. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what Jesus said. And we get this mistaken idea that somehow our purpose is to exist on this planet. And so we're trying to build our own little kingdom. So we have a house and we have a cabin and we have a boat and we have a car and we have our own little kingdom going on over here. And when you die, you leave it all because it's temporary. That's not our purpose. We are to set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And so start thinking higher. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to continue in the purpose to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And that prize is not a Cadillac. Do you understand? I'm not against Cadillacs. If you want to give me one, I'll take it. I'm not against them. That's just not the prize. That's not why we're here. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is greater than stuff. And we live in this world that is so temporary. In fact, it's so temporary that we have made our communication temporary. You know, literally, your Snapchat lasts for 30 seconds, vanishes, it's gone. End of conversation. We've moved on. Nothing has any permanence in our thinking. And yet the Apostle Paul says, there's a purpose why we're here, and that purpose is greater than this temporary life that is around us. And he says, Timothy, don't forget that. We've taught this to you. We've shown this to you. The Scripture has shown it to you. Mom and Dad showed it to you since you were a little kid. Get hold of it. And find God's purpose. He goes on. He says, continue in faith. To grow in the faith that started with that little child, perhaps, that started with your reading of the Scripture, that started with your coming to church, and you're beginning to grow in the Lord. And some of you are getting discouraged. You come to church 16 months and nothing really has happened. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, I feel like I'm beating my head against the proverbial wall. Why am I doing this? I'm just going through the motions. And if we're not careful, and the reason is because we've forgotten what is right and how it's supposed to impact our life, and we've forgotten the purpose that we're here, and it begins to impact our faith. And the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, continue to grow in your faith. Tuesday, I think it was this week, we had the teenagers with a separate meeting after the church services. And I asked the teenagers this question, and the response from them was just incredible. God was doing a work in their hearts. But the question is this: how far back in your life do you have to go to point to the time that you can say, oh, look, there's the last step I took in my spiritual walk, the last step of faith that I took, in which I trusted God to do something else unique in my life? And the question that I asked them was, how far back would you have to go before it becomes obvious that you're not letting God do a work in your life? Right? I mean, God wants us to continue on this journey of faith. It ought to be that we're taking steps of faith in our Christian walk on a regular basis. And instead, our Christianity looks more like every now and again we take a step of faith and we sit still for most of it. And then we're disappointed that we don't get anything out of our spiritual life. No wonder. We have to continue to walk forward, to move, to press toward the mark. And then he goes on with these other three here real quickly: long-suffering, charity, and patience. By the way, long-suffering and patience are two different words here, and we use them a lot interchangeably. But patience has that concept of waiting, that concept of just, you know, being patient, of waiting, and don't jump the gun. Long-suffering is just what it sounds like: to suffer, to put up with difficulty for a long time. And sometimes in our Christian life, we're called upon to suffer for a long time to get where God wants us to be, or to be used in the way God wants to use us. And sometimes we're called upon by God to simply be patient, to wait, because His timing is absolutely perfect. And we think, well, this is what I'm ready for. This is what should be happening. This is the next step in my life. And God says, I'm going to put you on hold for a little bit. And panic sets in. We need to learn to be patient. We need to learn long-suffering. And tucked in between those two words is this wonderful word called charity, right? To do so without losing compassion and love for one another, for other people. So the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Now, there's one other step in this that is really, we've kind of jumped through this passage, but we're leaving out the middle section. Take a look at verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. Now listen up. The Apostle Paul says, not only should you continue in what you've learned from me, from your mom and dad, from the scripture, not only should you continue in this list of things that are going to push you forward in your Christian walk, but what you need to do is to determine, Timothy, that you're going to continue in spite of the fact that life is not going to make this easy to happen, that the devil is going to fight you every step of the way, and that there are people in your life who will not like you taking steps of Christian growth. Some of you are going to have to step right around mom and dad in order to choose to do what God wants you to do. Some of you are going to have to step around persecution and difficulty, or endure persecution and difficulty, or be patient and wait. But all that live godly will suffer persecution. And it is in that context that comes the next verse, when the Apostle Paul says, in spite of the persecution and the difficulty that life is going to give you, it is not easy to live for Jesus. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it, and it wouldn't require the power of God. But it does require the power of God. Now, by the way, if it says that all who live godly shall suffer persecution, and you and I are not suffering persecution, what does that mean? Get the idea? In other words, we're choosing the easy road. Because if we're choosing the hard road of living godly, it's going to be a hard road. I'm not saying it's not going to be a blessed road. It is a blessing to live for the Lord. It is a joy unspeakable and full of glory to live for the Lord. But it is never an easy road. All who live godly will suffer persecution. Mom and Dad, quit pushing your kids toward the easy road. There is a broad, easy path. But where does it lead? To destruction. That's right. And I'm afraid that we've so bought into the world's philosophy that this is the way we're presenting Christianity to our kids, as if there's never a tough decision to be made. But Christianity requires long-suffering and patience and endurance and a determination to continue in spite of the fact that everyone who chooses to live the Christian life will suffer persecution. And right after the Apostle Paul says that, he says, but Timothy, here's what I want you to do. I want you to continue anyway. I want you to do this anyway. So here we've finished up this week of revival. Decision been made. Jerry, pray for me. God's working in my heart. Pray for my cousin. They're not saved. Pray for my nephew. I need to witness to him. Jerry, pray that I would be burdened for the souls of men. Pray that I would read my Bible more regularly. And we've made decisions. And here's where the decision really is. Will we continue down the road that is more difficult to walk upon? It's not easy to live the Christian life. Because all those who live godly in this present world will suffer persecution. It's not easy. It's right. Remember the things you've learned. What is right? Doctrine. Remember the things you've learned. It's going to change your manner of life and the way you're living. Remember the things you've learned. It's growing in your faith and trusting God for in areas you've never trusted Him before. That's what it's all about. So now the proverbial rubber meets the road, right? What are we going to do with it? God worked in our hearts last week, and God touched our hearts, and we raised our hand. We said, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Many came forward, and we saw God work, and we said, God, do this in my life and do that in my life. And I'm not sure what all the decisions were. I just saw you praying at the altar. I was there with you, and God was working in our hearts. Now, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, in spite of the fact that it's not easy, that there's difficulty, that there's persecution, that there are those resisting you. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse. This is all right before he says to Timothy, continue thou, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You're going to suffer persecution, Timothy? If you choose to follow the things that you've been taught, Timothy, if you choose to follow the Word of God, if you choose to follow the example that we've set for you, Timothy, you're going to suffer persecution. And guess what? It's going to get worse and worse. Not just worse, but worse and worse. And there are going to be men coming along, Timothy, and they're going to deceive you. They're going to try their best to trick you and get you off the path. That's what they're trying to do. But, Timothy, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. Now is not the time to stop. Now is not the time to quit. Now is the time to continue. You know, folks, Southeast, here we are. We've got some decisions, right? God's done a work. What are we going to do with it? Are we ready genuinely to take that step and continue? Even though the step that we take will be toward persecution and it's going to get worse before it gets better. Not just worse, but worse and worse before it gets better. Are we ready? But continue thou in the things thou hast learned. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.